Once we come to Christ, God expects us to pursue holiness.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant used Jesus' own words, recorded in John chapter 8, to list two things that must change if the Christian message of new life in Christ is to be effectively shared with those caught up in today's gathering darkness. Firstly, we heard Jesus say, "It's time to seek the Lord." Then we saw Jesus demonstrate that it's time to become a friend of sinners. This evening, Pastor Grant will conclude his message with the third point. Here again is Pastor Grant with Time for a Change.
A lady some years ago, a lady came forward in one of her services right here in this church. I preached that morning, it was years ago. You don't know her, so don't even try and figure it out. I pick stories that you wouldn't be able to figure out. She's not here. When I went to speak to her, she shared with me, she said, "You know, I'm a prostitute. I sell my body at Broad and whatever that street is." She said, "I'm out there selling. Can God save me?" And I told her, He can save anybody and wants to save everybody, and He wants to save you. If you were the only sinner in the world, Jesus loves you enough, He would have died just for you. You know, that lady trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you, she grew. Some years later, I had the privilege of being at her wedding and to encourage her in the things of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. The biggest problem, you know, the person who is the hardest to save is not the bad person, it's the good person. The person who is so good, they compare themselves with the rest of the world and they say, "Well, I'm not like that. God must let me in." I pray that this morning, the Spirit of God will help you to see who you really are. That the comparison is not against that lady or against me. The comparison is against the righteous, holy God. And if you're not as righteous or as holy as He is, you need His salvation. And I trust that this morning, you will come to know Him. But let me get back to my story. Because in John's Gospel chapter 8, the religious leaders set up a trap that they were sure would get Jesus to condemn a sinful woman rather than showing her love. So let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 8. If you have your Bible, turn there. If not, we'll put the verses on the screen. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verses 2 to 6. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 2 to 6. And here's how it reads. "Now early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He," that's Jesus, "sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery." She was caught. "And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.'" Wow. "Now Jesus in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" "Thus they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His fingers, as though He did not hear." This poor lady must have been dragged to the temple, for I'm sure she did not go willingly. Do you agree with me? And I doubt she committed adultery by herself. What do you think? So where was the man? And how did they know she committed adultery? Were they watching through a peephole? Or did the man set the whole thing up? Did they have a deal with the man? You bring her in and we let you go. How in the what? You see, the religious leaders wanted this woman stoned, for the Jewish law said an adulteress should be stoned. So if Jesus said she should not be stoned, he would be openly breaking the law and could be arrested on the spot. On the other hand, if he said stone her, wow, he'd be really breaking the hearts of the sinners who loved his message of forgiveness. The religious leaders must have been smiling inside, for they had Jesus in a bind. We got Jesus in a bind, they were saying to themselves. If he says stone her, he's in trouble. If he says let her go free, he's in trouble. We got him in a box. So what did Jesus say? Well, look at verse number 7. So when they continued asking him, Jesus, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Instead of passing judgment on the woman, he passed judgment on the judges. Isn't that something? He passed judgment on the judges. Whoever is without sin, let them cast the first stone. And at least they were honest and walked away because they realized they were not without sin. Are you willing this morning to acknowledge that you are not without sin? Thank God he's willing to help this sinner. Amen. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Are you a friend of sinners? If not, this is a time for change. And my friend, regardless of what you have done, as I've said before, Jesus is willing and able to wash away every sin that you have ever done. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But praise God, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number one, what? It's time what? To seek the Lord. Second, it's what? It's time to become a friend of sinners. And third, it's time to pursue holiness. It's time to pursue holiness. You know, quite often after someone becomes a Christian, they think they have arrived. But write this down. Write this down. Salvation is not a destination. It's the beginning of a wonderful journey and relationship with God. Are you experiencing this journey? This relationship? Or have you been treating your salvation as a destination? Oh yes, I know I'm on my way to heaven. And now that I'm on my way to heaven, that's all I need to know. I got my passport to heaven. No. It's not a destination. It's the beginning of a wonderful journey and relationship with God. Amen. So write this down as well. Salvation, therefore, requires a change of behavior. Amen. Salvation requires a change of behavior. Here's a verse we're going to put on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All the things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Once we come to Christ, we become a new creation. Wait, my fingers look the same. Even my big toe, I wish it could have changed, but it didn't change. My ears, wish they weren't so long, but they're the same. Nothing much has changed. But a lot has changed. He has changed us from the inside out. Amen. And little by little, he keeps changing us. When we come to Christ, a spiritual miracle happens. And after that happens, we must pursue holiness. Look at verse 10 in the chapter we're studying. Verse 10 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. It says, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one standing but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, wow, wow, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Write this in your notes. Final thing you're writing down. Once we come to Christ, God expects us to pursue holiness. Go and sin no more. When we come to Christ, God expects us to pursue holiness. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. Are you pursuing holiness? My friend, God saved us for a purpose. And unless we pursue holiness, we will never experience the abundant life that God has provided for us. God has an amazing, fruitful, wonderful life designed for you. But unless we decide to pursue this Christian life and to pursue holiness, we will never experience all that God has intended for us. But you know, personal holiness is an individual matter. But we also need each other. You know, I didn't know my wife was going to share what she did. But it is so important. Corporate coming together as a church. Oh, I hope you're listening good. Those of you who are home watching on with your coffee, I'm glad you have your coffee and you're able to drink. Where's my coffee? Seriously. As we really think of what God is up to, he has set the church in a very strategic place in our lives. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it tells us, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Listen, God is telling us, don't neglect coming together. And there's a lot of reasons why. Pursuing holiness. There is something about gathering together with the saints that helps us in this pursuit of holiness. And this is why God has set this verse in here. Because listen, I am encouraging you to keep going for Jesus, and you are encouraging me to keep going for Jesus. We all need each other. But the tragedy is, I just looked up this statistic. The statistic tells us that that churches who have a large percentage, where the majority are Caucasian, that 73% of those who were coming to church before are now attending again, about 73%. But for churches that have a significant African-American population, they tell us, guess what? 48% are going to church. Now, we're higher than that. And thank God, perhaps it's because we're a mixed church. But 48% and 73%. The devil has gotten us where he wants us. Because I am telling you that the next generation, those of you who have children, you're going to find a significant falling off of the children of those who have decided to stay home. I guarantee it, unless God does an incredible work. But there's more. There's more reasons than that why you need to be here. Because we need each other, and particularly those of us with gray hairs need to recognize we have a greater responsibility than ever before. For because of the filth of the internet and other things like that, every young person who gets saved is already so mixed up with pornography and other such stuff that they're going to need your help and mine. So don't get so turned off the reality. The reality is that not only the young people are mixed up, the reality is that the adults are mixed up too. Because the reality is when we turn on the stuff, all sorts of stuff jumps up. And there's things in our brain that immediately locks on to this stuff. And we need each other if we're going to live clean. If we're going to live for Jesus, we need each other so that we can iron sharpens iron. And by the love of God, we can help each other. And you and I might become friends. And we can help each other through this tough journey. Amen. You know, after Jesus raised the Lazarus from the dead, you have heard this illustration, but I'm going to give it again because it's worth repeating. You see, none of us can raise a person from the dead. Only Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. But there's a part that every person needs to do. I can't give you new life, nor can you. Only Jesus can give us salvation. But after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Bible says he came out of the tomb. He was bound and gagged. He was all wrapped up. And it's interesting, could Jesus have loosed him? Couldn't Jesus have just spoken the word and boom? Wow! All of the things are gone. He could have. But Jesus raised him. And he walked away. It says, you, loose him and let him go. Jesus has brought us new life. But you've got a part. I've got a part to loose the new believer, to loose the believer that's on the road, to help that one who's struggling with something that's binding them. We have the responsibility, and God has given us the wisdom and the ability to help to loose these individuals so that they can walk in the power and fullness of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, we must pursue holiness, and it begins when we come to Jesus, and we must have a personal commitment that, God, I want to be like you. But listen, it also involves this responsibility where every believer recognizes I'm not an island. I'm not out by myself. I am a part of the community. I'm a part of the family of God, and I'm not going to do church at home any longer. Because I need them and they need me. Amen. I'm just about done. But you know, the darkness has been descending. And as this darkness descends, there are many Christians who are discouraged. They figure, oh, we're fighting a losing battle. But I want you to realize this is a time of unprecedented opportunity. You say, Pastor, are you crazy? Did that stroke fry your brain? No. Ask my speech coach. My brain is working just fine. Am I right about that, Cameron? So, Pastor, what in the world do you mean this is a time of unprecedented opportunity? As I was preparing, Jesus is what? What is the top? What did it say? Jesus is the light. Is that what he said? I am what? I am the light of the world. When darkness descends, what happens to the light? The light grows brighter. You know, sometimes when we turn on our little light out in front of a house, whatever they call those lights that are attached to the wall, that word I forgot. But whenever they attach that light, we turn on the light. If it's too bright, you know, I don't even realize it's on. But when it gets dark, hallelujah, the darker it gets, the more impact the light will have. And this is why it's so important. Don't get discouraged. By the way, this is why Jesus also says, not only I am the light of the world, what else does he say about light? He says, you are the light of the world. And my friend, as the hour gets darker, may we not go hiding in our closets, but might we be as bold as lions, shining the light of the gospel. The only light that brings change. Christmas is coming. And every Christmas there are some impeccably wrapped boxes sitting around Christmas trees. Have you noticed them? Some beautifully wrapped boxes. They're out there in the malls. You go other places, you see these boxes, and they're beautifully wrapped, and they have bows. And you may wonder, how is it nobody stealing them? They're just out there. Guess why nobody's stealing them? They're totally empty. You know, a lot of folks are well wrapped with nothing going on inside, for they're not experiencing God's abundant life. Young man, is that you? Young lady, is that you? Older person, is that you? Are you one of those that look so good on the outside, but nothing is going on the inside? Today, God wants to do something big. For me, it started when I was 9 years old. Oh, have I walked straight? Nah. But I tell you what, I can never lose my salvation, because it's not up to me, it's up to him. And he keeps me, hallelujah, and he keeps forgiving me, and he keeps helping me, and he keeps growing me. And little by little, every day, Jesus has been changing me, because I have the life of God living in me. And this morning, you can experience the same thing. This morning, you can open your heart to Jesus Christ, and he will come in, and he will save you, and he will change you. It starts there, and after it starts, you got to pursue holiness. And then, of course, you got to make sure you become a friend of sinners so that your light can shine in today's darkness. Are you ready to change? It's time for a change. Will you change? And our Father, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, you may bring change to some heart today. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me
to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.